A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is this newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and with him all Jerusalem. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and pay him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another route. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Ravenna, Italy, is a port city on the Adriatic. It's about 50 miles south of Venice. And though it's in the west, it has always been a Byzantine place. And it's most famous for its mosaics. There's probably the largest collection of mosaics in the world in Ravenna, Italy. In 402, when the Roman Empire was collapsing, the emperor moved the capital of the empire from Rome to Ravenna. And so in the early 400s, Ravenna flourished. There's a mausoleum there, not a particularly large building, in which is buried Galla Placidia, the wife of one of the emperors. And the outside is a very plain brown brick. But when you walk in, literally your mouth hangs open as you look at these mosaics that adorn every square inch of the building. Hundreds of thousands of tiny pieces of stone cut and chiseled to form these great images. There's a church, Apollinare Nuova, and when you walk into it, it's a much larger room than this. Again, you just sound stupefied. These mosaics were made in the early 400s, and they bounce out at you with a brilliance that you can't imagine. There have to be hundreds of thousands of these little stones put together. Apollinare Nuova is dedicated to the birth of Jesus, and the back wall of the sanctuary depicts the Nativity. And on this wall, in huge figures, are the three magi processing toward the newborn Christ. They have crowns on their heads. They're carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Two of them are white. One of them is black. And above them in large letters are their names, Balthazar, Caspar, and Melchior. And that image is where we get our popular image of the Magi. And there's nothing wrong with that. It fleshes it out, gives us something to hold on to, much as these magnificent Stations of the Cross do. But what we have to remember is that image of the Magi does not come from the Gospel. The Gospel does not say there were three Magi. It does not say that two of them were white and one black. Nor does it say that they were kings, and it does not assign names to them. It's perfectly well and valid to have that image, but we always have to remember what is in the gospel or what Jesus said as opposed to what emerges, because that's where religion always gets in trouble. We take something that Jesus did, and then we add to it and impose it upon people, and it's not really what Jesus intended. This whole brouhaha that is going on between Pope Francis and a number of the cardinals and bishops, where Pope Francis is saying to divorced and remarried people, perhaps God wants you to come to the table of the Lord and be fed at communion. Because communion is not a reward for being good, it is the food to sustain us on the journey. And Francis is saying, Jesus never said that you can't come to communion if you're divorced and remarried. And yet these cardinals and bishops are outraged because they're hanging on to something that was added by the church. Always, always, we have to know what's in the gospel and what Jesus did. What's Matthew trying to do here today? Remember that Matthew writes to a Jewish audience who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He's trying to show them how he fulfills all the Old Testament prophecies. But by the time he writes in the year 85, the Jewish church is fading away and is becoming a Gentile church. And Matthew is trying to tell his Jewish audience that your religious leaders were so caught up in laws and rules and regulations, they didn't see the Messiah come. It took these pagans, these Gentiles from the East, to come and recognize the Messiah. And the challenge for you and me today is to know where we find Jesus Christ. Do we not see him in the faces of the multitudes of people who come here every Tuesday to be fed at our food pantry because they can't afford to feed their own children, and they do that because of your generosity? Do we not see them in the faces of these little children whose pictures we see traumatized for life by this war in Syria? Do we not see the wonder of Jesus Christ in the eyes of a baby as they begin to take in the wonder of this whole new world? The challenge to you and me is to know where to find Jesus Christ. Amen.